Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 FY20 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q3 and nine-month FY20 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team of Cera Sanitaryware, comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh P. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to state that some statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard is available in the earnings documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join our call. The earnings for the third quarter and nine months were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, February 5th, 2020. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. I am pleased to share that we have delivered a positive top-line performance in the third quarter. During the current fiscal, we have continued our efforts towards more detailed product segmentation, widening our distribution network, and enhancing our product portfolio. These initiatives have served us well. In addition to this, our steadfast focus on inventory and receivable management has continued to strengthen our balance sheet and operating cash flow. As a debt-free company with over 209 crores of cash in our balance sheet, we believe we are insulated from the short-term impact of business cycles and are well-positioned to take advantage of the economic upswing as it unfolds. More importantly, our financial strength allows us to continue to make investments in product development, network expansion, as well as marketing and promotional activities, positioning us favorably to capitalize on an improvement in demand. For Q3 FY2020, revenue for the quarter stood at 326 crores versus 323 crores in Q3 of 2018-19, registering a 1% YOY increase. For Q3 FY20, 46% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 25% from faucetware, tiles represented 25%, and wellness 4%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered a decline of 11.3%, faucetware revenues grew by 8.5%, tiles was higher by 22%, and wellness grew by 11%. EBITDA excluding other income for FY20 quarter 3 was rupees 43 crores versus rupees 46 crores in Q3 of FY19. The EBITDA margin stood at 13.36%, lower by 105 basis points. Profit after tax for Q3 FY20 was 28.37 crores, largely stable compared to 28.36 crores posted in Q3 FY19. EPS on a quarterly basis was 21.81 per share versus 21.80 per share on a YOY basis. Having completed the festive season and 9 months into the fiscal, the sanitaryware segment has seen a sustained period of growth and will soon return to its normal trajectory of growth. The primary reason attributable is extremely subdued economic environment, which has led to lower demand. We anticipate a return to growth in the next year for the following reasons. Number one, as the incremental real estate projects are largely affordable housing, Cera, which has had a large portfolio of sanitaryware products focused on affordable housing projects, has further segmented the market with newer options within categories. Number two, we have launched 50 new SKUs in Q3 of the current fiscal. Number three, we have enhanced our customer touchpoints with 9 dealer-owned Cera exclusive showrooms and added 172 new dealers in Q3. Number 4. immense focus on sustainable manufacturing and global recognition and certification for water-saving products will continue to benefit the business. As the numbers indicate, we have built a resilient model where a large proportion of costs are variable. The EBITDA margin and profitability have held up even in times of subdued demand. The faucetware segment has delivered an encouraging performance. We have reported growth on the back of continued market penetration of our products. We seek to build on this and endeavor to continue this trajectory well into the next year. Sanitaryware and faucetware business remain the core focus area for us, and we are confident of the prospects on a sustained basis. The tile segment is growing according to business plan and has enhanced our brand presence as a complete bathroom solutions provider across the distribution network. Wellness has grown well on a small base. Inventory days in Q3 FY20 were 52.83 days compared to 48.03 days in Q3 FY19. Receivable days in Q3 FY20 were 58.34 days versus 58.35 days in Q3 FY19. Payable days in Q3 were 33.35 days against 34.56 days in Q3 of FY19. Therefore, net working capital days in Q3 FY20 were 78 days versus 72 days in Q3 FY19. On a sequential quarter basis, working capital days have reduced from 80 days in Q2 of FY20 to 78 days in Q3 FY20. We remain sanguine about the prospects for the industry, given multiple government initiatives, including number one, recapitalization of PSU banks, which we expect will have a multiplier effect. Number two, NBFCs being able to raise debt and equity, which should result in increased pace of disbursements. Number three, in the union budget announced a few days ago, we welcome announcements on increasing allocation to smart cities and the push towards affordable housing. The government's focus on infrastructure, rural development, and improving farmers' income is encouraging, and we believe this will reinvigorate economic growth, especially in Tier 2 and Tier 3 centers as well as rural areas. Lastly, the extension of SOFs towards affordable housing by one more year is favorable for demand for our products. We continue to believe that we are well poised to capitalize on a revival in customer sentiment given our comprehensive product offerings, wide distribution network, and high brand recall. We have just completed a rewarding festive season, and the seasonal uptick towards the second half of the year continues. We believe that affordable housing will continue to comprise a majority of completed projects and under construction projects as well. We are also witnessing encouraging signs across commercial real estate, co-working, co-living, and the hospitality industry. Before I conclude, I would like to inform you about some developments in the management team. At yesterday's board meeting, the board has elevated Ms. Deepshika Khaitan as Joint Managing Director for a period of 5 years and also reappointed Mr. Atul Sanghvi as Executive Director and CEO for a further period of 3 years. Both the appointments take effect from 1st April 2020 and subject to approval by the members of the next general meeting. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So thank you for the opportunity. I have three questions. So how was the demand scenario in Q3 and has there been any improvement, particularly on the retailer side?
Okay. See, the market has remained subdued and we continue to find that though the end consumer is willing to spend and willing to buy products, They are postponing decisions in some case. That is one trend. The second trend we are seeing that retailers and dealers are right-sizing their businesses. So over the last 2-3 years, we have found that retailers and dealers who had expanded into too many areas, opened too many outlets, and created a very large infrastructure of salespeople and logistics are now right-sizing their business. So whatever problems there were in the trade of liquidity and cash flow, those they are addressing on a individual level. So I feel that in this business, the trade and the financials of the trade are extremely important. And that is finally getting addressed after 3 quarters.
Okay. So you mean to say there are early signs of revival in the, let's say, Jan month?
You see, the consumer sentiment, in my opinion, for products where Cera is present was never that muted. They were merely postponing demands, but the manner in which the company has introduced new SKUs, new models, addressed the change dynamics of the market, that has really made a huge impact. For example, of the total number of SKUs, 20% have been launched in the last 18 months, which constitute little more than 10% of our top line.
Okay.
So this is purely an addition to our top line. Where we found the problem was, like we discussed in the last call, payments from the retailer to the dealer were delayed. And that was causing a lot of problems. And as Cera is a very conservative company, we don't really relax our credit rules for any dealers. So we had to become even more conservative in terms of taking credit calls. So all that is now getting streamlined, sorted out, because those individual entrepreneurs who are retailers and dealers are right-sizing their businesses.
Right, right. So in the last con call, you mentioned that instead of October, scientific prices may be increased in December, Jan. So have you taken any price hike? And if yes, then to what extent?
The last price, normally we review our pricing every April and October.
Right.
The last April pricing was implemented on 1st May. And then subsequently, the October price hike was reviewed. And because of a very benign raw material environment in sanitary ware and faucet ware, there was no price hike taken in October. So brass prices in faucet ware have declined considerably, which is, you know, more than 40-45% of the total cost.
Yeah. But you have mentioned that prices may be increased in December, January. So have you taken a price hike? So
the new price hike between 3-5% across all sanitary ware products will kick in from 1st April. On faucet ware, the model is much more dynamic and very linked to brass prices. So we have not reduced prices, but we are not going to take a price increase unless there's an upward movement in brass.
Okay.
But overall, you'll find in sanitary ware 3-5% price increase implemented from 1st April 2020.
Sure. And so lastly, have you any decided on CapEx trend for FY21?
No, currently that is still being worked out because the CapEx plan for this year, 19-20, that has also not been exhausted. So, you know, there's still some money spent from the allocation of this year to be spent, and for next year it's still being worked out.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiral Desai from Anivate Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ayush.
Hi.
I had a couple of questions. One was this, you know, you did mention in the opening comments regarding most of the cost being variable. Now, my question was, if I look at the other expenses in this quarter, it is sequentially down about 13.5%. So, can you just explain us, you know, was this specific cost savings or were there other moving parts?
The largest item of saving, you see, other expenses have a number of headings.
Yes.
So, production overheads is more or less similar with a slight trend downwards. Power and fuel is more or less similar. Publicity, there's a saving of about 2.5 crores. Packing material, there's a saving of about 50 lakhs. Sales and marketing expense, there's a saving of 9 crores.
Sales and marketing?
Yes. Freight and forwarding, there is a saving of about 2.25 crores. And in dash adjustment, there is a benefit of 5.4 crores.
Okay, okay.
So those big items have resulted in the major savings. These are for 9 months. I've given
got
you
it.
9 months, I can give you for 3 months as well.
No, so the 9 crore number on sales and marketing is a full year number, year to date. 9 months
number, yes. Now, the same Got number for Q3, it is almost 4 crores.
4 crores for Q3?
Yes.
Okay. And you think this benefit that we are seeing on the other expenses can sustain as we go along for, you know, probably next 3 or 4 quarters?
See, this sales and marketing is totally dependent on the management's view on whether that money should be spent in opening touch points or spending on the media and further enhancing the brand.
Right.
A year and a half ago, we took a view we want to open a very large format in Bangalore, a very large format in Morbi, and redo the Ahmedabad Customer Experience Center. So that lot of money of sales and marketing was used for that purpose. This year, again, a lot of money has been spent on the brand, but still lower than the year before. So this is purely a function of the view management takes.
And the other is, you know, we were in Gujarat, I think about a month ago, and, you know, there are a lot of these regional players like Simpola, Commander, Plumber. So just wanted to understand, like, how large would some of these players be and how competitive they are from a depth of the product offering perspective?
So they are largely me-too products. They basically grab the catalogs of 3-4 companies like Sera.
Right.
Identify a few products which are fast-moving for companies like Sera.
Right.
And then try and manufacture those on an outsource basis or on a local level basis. So the technology level of whether natural gas or 1200 degree firing or, you know, even glazing, those things are never possible. So there's a marked difference in, you know, the touch and feel from an end consumer standpoint.
Right.
And for a 25-year product, if you are differentiating yourself by a price advantage of 400-500 rupees, it's making less and less of a difference going forward.
Got it. And the other is, if I just look at sanitaryware, let's say over last 3 years, what would have been the cumulative pricing that you would have taken over last 3 years?
Normally every 6 months is between 2 and 7% across all products, so you can say average of 3.5-4% annually.
Okay. And within sanitaryware and faucetware both, what would be the share of premium products at an industry level?
Yeah, I can give you our share.
Okay.
Because, you know, industry data is very hard to come by. We rely
on... No, that's fair.
So we have divided our sanitaryware and faucetware into entry, mid and premium based on MRP. Now, the MRP number I'm not being able to give you simply because it will reveal a pricing strategy to the market.
No problem.
So
this is the share.
Yes. So for Q3, sanitaryware plus faucetware, entry products constituted 35% of our sale.
Okay.
Mid was 15 and premium was 50. And the same thing if you want to cumulate, it was the same. The percentage was the same.
Okay. And I'm presuming at the industry level, the premium share would be slightly lower, right? Given that some of our competitors, at least the organized guys, would operate in the premium space. So at the industry level, the premium share would be slightly lower as compared to Sera's share, right?
If you're talking about our peer group, Indian peer group, their range and our range is very similar. If you're talking
Absolutely.
About the MNC peer group, yes, the Japanese and the German companies operate at a dramatically different market.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks a ton, Ayush.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to limit your question to 2 at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was with respect to the reach. So you said that, you know, in 3Q, you've added a certain number of dealers. So if you could help us with, you know, what is the universe and how much have we reached out to? I know it's hard to give a number, but just a broad sense with respect to where we are in terms of the overall reach.
Okay. See, I'll just give you some numbers before we get into that. I'll just give you some more numbers. as of December 2019, our total dealers were 3461.
Okay.
Which is a 19% increase from March 19.
Okay.
Our total retailers were 11,306. Now,
okay,
this number, you will find it similar to March 19 because the new dealers that we have attracted, we don't know how many retailers they are servicing. So, we've kept the number same.
Okay. What would be the universe, the total retail universe, according to our best estimate?
Between the top 4-5 players, it would be at least 50,000 to 60,000.
So roughly we have just reached out to 20%, is that right?
No, no. Between our total dealers and retailers are 14,767.
Right.
Let's say that's 15,000.
Okay.
So the top four players would have between 10 and 15,000 each.
Okay.
Some of which are overlapping, some of which are exclusive.
Understood. Okay. Number two, with respect to tiles business, can you help us in terms of the mix, how it has changed in last 3 years? And in terms of the ROC, what is the capital employed in this business, if you could share that? And how do you see it growing going forward?
For Q3 FY20, our share of GVT is 28% of our sales.
Okay.
Out of 80 crores, 28% is GVT. Soluble salt is 13%. And the rest, 59%, includes double charge, wall tiles, paving tiles, etc.
Right. Okay.
Capital employed is basically our investment in our two JVs, which is 29 and 8. So in our Andhra JV is 29 crores, 8 crores in our Gujarat JV. And the,
in addition, there would be some working capital as well.
Yes.
Right?
So the receivables minus the payables.
Okay, and plus inventory as well.
Yes, correct.
How
inventory,
much would that be?
Inventory, okay. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Our two JVs together do not supply more than 35% of our total sales.
Right.
We buy with them, we buy from them on a just-in-time basis, and the balance 65% is direct supply from those vendors directly to our consumers in most cases to save on duplication of logistics.
Okay.
So we don't keep any inventory from neither outsourced nor from our JV partners.
Right. Okay. And so inventory, sorry, receivable minus payable would be how much in number of days broadly?
We've not split it on a
No, I'm just
basis.
Trying to figure out what is the return we are making in the tiles business.
The total receivable days as on December 19 is 58 days.
Right.
And if you take out tiles, it becomes 39.85 days.
Okay.
With the same number of 39.85 on a YOY December 18 was 44.60.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And payable?
Payable, not really split the payable on, total payable is 33.35 days, which was 34.56 days.
Fair to assume it will be similar for tiles as well, or it would be higher?
We've not really split it up, so won't be correct for me to say.
Got it. Great, I'll come back in the queue for further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is mainly to do with the industry dynamics. So in your opening comments, you mentioned that affordable housing is expected to be a prime demand driver going forward, and, you know, urban construction is not doing as well. So with the increasing proportion of affordable housing in the revenue mix, do you think the margin trajectory could possibly change from here on, considering that we have a different line of product for affordable housing versus our premium housing?
Within affordable housing, also there are a lot of premium products being sold. So I'll give you one more statistic to just bring out some flavor on that. Tier 1 sales for 9 months were 31%, for Q3 were 30% of our sales. This is for towns and cities with a population of about 25 lakhs. Tier 2 for 9 months were 12.6% of our sales, which were 11.8% in Q3, which is 10 lakh to 25 lakh population. And below 10 lakh, which is Tier 3 and below, in 9 months our sales were 55%, in Q3 it was 56.5%. So I just mentioned a few minutes ago that our share of premium products according to MRP are more than 50% of our total products. So you'll find a significant overlap between sales in Tier 3 towns and those premium products.
Understand.
In affordable housing, the type and brand and the design of sanitary ware and faucet ware that is being used is a significant marketing tool.
Okay. Got it, sir. So my second question is, could you help us with two data points? How much is B2B versus B2C for your business, and what is the ad spend to net sales that you look at a sustainable basis going forward?
Last quarter I had said 72% of our sales is retail through dealers. That number is now 75% for Q3. So 72-28 has become 75-25.
10 ad spends.
It's 4, as a rule, we keep that at 4% of our top line. And in 18-19, you'll find that number lower, and the year before that also you'll find that number lower, because a lot of that money was used for customer touch points. But as a rule, we end up spending 4% in advertising and brand building.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Shreyans Jain from Renaissance Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just want to understand, if I look at your 9 months, FY18, FY19 and FY20, we haven't improved our gross margin significantly, and same thing has happened with the EBITDA margin. So what I'm trying to understand is, with this increase in affordable housing, is this trend going to continue on a longer term basis? And secondly, you also mentioned that a B2B sales have B2C sales have increased to 75%. So what is it that is not working out for us, you know, to improve our margins sequentially, you know, 9 months, FY18, 19, 20 on a longer term basis?
The margin expansion will kick in once sales expansion also kicks in. So it's a matter of time. And that will happen in the sanitary ware business the way it's happening in the faucet ware business. So we expect that to happen anytime. That's the easiest way to look at it, because not more than 20% of our total costs are fixed costs. And that includes the employee cost, which is fixed, finance cost, depreciation, and a share of other expenses, which is fixed, all constitute 20% of our total costs.
Right.
So little bit of sales expansion will see margin expansion.
Okay. But going by your commentary, what I'm trying to understand is, since you're saying affordable housing is going to be the driver, and we don't know when the premium real estate starts moving, so then how are we going to get that improvement, right? Because I don't think the affordable housing will have a product mix improvement in that sense, right?
So affordable housing is also a buyer of premium products. And if you increase your volumes and value in affordable housing, your margins, both on an absolute number and on a percentage basis, will expand.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just a couple of things. Faucets has seen healthy revenue growth, and that would be largely on account of market share. So now, and all in the meantime, your sanitary ware has kind of seen decline. So given this backdrop, what will be the current faucets margins? How will they be different from the company's overall margin that you report?
Both faucet and sanitary ware EBITDA margins are higher than the blended average of the company.
Okay. So it's only the tiles part of it is which is pulling it down.
That's right.
Effectively.
Correct.
And at what kind of run rate level do you expect these tiles margins to kind of, you know, move up? Or is there, will there always be a difference between the tiles and the core sanitary ware faucet margins?
There will always be a difference, but at the same time, share of GVT and share of DC, these play an important determinant in tiles margins. So about a year and a half ago, we had 30% of sales as soluble salt, which is now only 13%.
Okay.
So, and share of GVT and DC has gone up dramatically. Then we've launched slabs. In August, we launched slabs, which are again high margins. So as share of slabs, DC and GVT increase, margins in tiles will increase.
Okay.
And of course, now with, you know, a complete level playing field on the cost side, GST implementation, so companies like us are really benefiting from that. You can see that from the top line expansion in tiles.
Sure. And in terms of the overall JVs, what will be the utilizations for them now, both Anjani and Milo put together?
I can give you the number, which is maybe a little old. One second, I'll just give you the number.
Sure.
Anjani and Milo were both operating at between 90 and 95% utilization.
Okay. So, since we are seeing such strong growth in the tile segment and they are almost fully utilized now, so how are we looking in terms of the incremental sourcing, if any thoughts there?
In any case, both these together are only 35% of our sales.
Hmm.
So, going forward, we don't see the need to expand capacity in these two JVs. We'll be happy to source from third parties. And
okay,
third parties offer us very lucrative contracts given the overcapacity in the unbranded market.
Sure. Okay. And so just last one from my side, APM prices are slated to come down because of the lower crude prices. Is that going to have any bearing on the power and fuel cost for us?
I'll give you some color on other power and fuel cost. We have two contracts. One is the APM GAIL contract.
Yeah.
And one is the Sabarmati contract.
Yeah.
So the GAIL pricing was for Q3 13.95. And Sabarmati contract was for 33.9. So you can already tell how low the APM GAIL pricing is compared to market pricing.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
2% of our consumption was GAIL APM. 48 was Sabarmati.
Okay.
And for 9 months, APM GAIL was 58% and 42 was Sabarmati.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinil Dahiwale from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the impact on our business and the industry, mainly because of the lockdown which is happening in China because of the coronavirus issue.
See, a lot of tiles companies who have been exporting to China may be impacted. We don't have any exports to China from tiles. We have a total export in any case is 15 crores annually. And that is, bulk of it is to GCC countries. And five, 7 years ago, we had a few vendors in China. We have less than one or two vendors currently in China who would be, you know, less than 0.2% of our sales. They can be substituted from any of the vendors in India.
Okay, maybe on other players in the industry who are like mainly import from China.
That for us to know any other company's vendor composition is very difficult.
Okay, that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Srinidhi from Pioneer Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, sir. Sir, can you give us the data about the industry size of sanitary ware and faucet roughly? And at what rate the industry growth we are seeing?
Okay. Sanitary ware we estimate, because again in the absence of any authentic third party data, we estimate it to be between 3,600 crores, of which maybe 70-80% is organized. And faucet ware we expect it to be between 7,500 to 8,000 crores, of which 60% would be organized.
And sir, in what rate we expect the industry to grow in the coming years?
Till 18-19, the industry in sanitary ware was growing 7-8%. This year, there would be no growth at all in the industry. Going forward, we expect it to come back to its normal trajectory of 7-8%. Faucet ware would be slightly slower, 6-7%. And in faucet ware, we were capturing between 12-15% incremental market share if you consider our growth of 70 crores annually. Within the organized part of the faucetware business. So we expect the faucetware business to come back to its normal trajectory of growth.
Okay, sir. And sir, in this quarter, in which geographic area we saw the growth coming? So, like, can you tell us, like, from south, north, west, and east, where we are seeing the growth?
Give you one statistic which will again give will help. No state for Cera constitutes more than 15% of sales.
Yeah.
So the highest revenue state, Kerala, is 15% of sales. And then, of course, there are many close seconds.
Okay.
And for 18-19, our composition was North 25, East 9, West 22 and South 44. And for 9 months of this year, the same composition is 9, for North it's 30%, East is 10%, West is 17%, and South is 43%.
Okay, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushal Shah from Dhanki Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, earlier on you had mentioned about, in Q2 delays from retailers to the dealers in terms of payment. So how is that situation now? And is there substantial inventory in the system? Also, do we have any dealer financing, etc., which can kind of ease the pressure on the retailers or the dealers?
We have one public sector bank and one private sector bank from where we have lines of dealer financing at very, very low rates. Total combined limits and lines are 150 crores, and at any point in time, you'll find the drawn lines between 40 and 60 crores. And the reason for that is sometimes dealers are reluctant to submit additional collateral required by the bankers, or to submit the increasing amount of data that banks want. That is one. We neither encourage it nor discourage it, because we don't want dealers to stock up without sales. As far as cash flow management by the retailers and dealers are concerned, they are right-sizing. So they would have, in the last 3-4 years of market growth, created too many touch points, created too much infrastructure, and taken on too much cost. So now they are right sizing. I feel that their costs will now be aligned to their revenues and actual consumer demand, and that will help not only them but companies like us as well. From our side, what are we doing? We are getting them involved in a dealer ERP portal, so they can predict demand, predict which SKUs are moving, how much inventory to keep, etc. Second thing we are doing is we give them access to our 19 localized warehousing so that all the inventory can be kept in the company rented or company owned warehouse rather than at the dealer's go down.
Right. Okay. Sir, earlier on a question you also mentioned that regarding the China, you mentioned that there are several companies which export tiles to China, if I have understood it correctly. So if this virus issue persists, do you expect maybe some problem to the exports and therefore that quantity is coming to the local market and maybe impacting the pricing scenario?
In any case, on the production front in tiles, there is already overcapacity in India. That's why the capacity utilization of a lot of plants which don't have access to large brands or they don't have their own brand is not more than 60%.
Right.
So that's a problem that is already on. About 10 years ago, India was an importer of tiles from China. Then the situation was reversed a few years ago. But I don't think that the quantities are very substantial to dent a 48,000 crore industry.
Sure. That helps. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ravindranath from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you just mentioned that, you know, the affordable size, you know, tier 2 below towns, some good statistics you have provided, and you have a well-spread market across the country. So can you please provide the statistic related to entry and mid and premium segment products in tier 2 and below towns and tier 2 above towns?
We have split our total sales in entry, mid and premium segment. We've not, split it based on tier 1, 2 and 3 because that will reveal our marketing strategy to the market.
Okay. Can you provide broad sense on what it is, how it is moved in broad sense and color and that how the products have moved and why were basis?
Tier 3 towns are not just buyers of entry level products.
Okay.
They might be selling apartments at 3,500 to 4,500 a square foot, but they complete their projects in 6 to 9 months. They don't have any debt. It's fully equity funded. The cost of approvals, regulations, the delays, cost of labor, all that is much, much lower in those towns. So their ability to spend on sanitary ware and faucet ware is very high. That's
okay.
And at the same time, the local dealer, suppose we have three dealers in a tier 3 town, those three dealers have a lot of influence.
Okay.
They have tie-ups with lot of plumbing contractors, lot of civil contractors. So, I mean, the overall solution that a company like Cera can provide and the dealers can provide is immense. That's the reason you're seeing 56% of sales from these towns.
Okay. Sir, can you please, is there any connect between the savings that you mentioned that you have saved, other expenditure you have saved around 5 crore in 9 months and in the last quarter you have saved around 4 crore. Largely sales and marketing, power and fuel might have contributed. But is there any connection if the affordable size housing is improving and also the below tier 2 below towns marketing sales is improving? So is there any connection between the savings?
No, it is just a call that the management team takes on how much to spend in sales and marketing, brand building, or to give that a pause for 2 months and save some money and use that money for any experience center. That's all.
Okay, okay. And nothing related to sales and the geographical spread of sales, nothing related to that.
The overall trend of 4% of top line, that will always remain more or less a rigid number.
Okay, okay. Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Baid from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just one clarification. You mentioned in the beginning that next year you're expecting the sanitaryware segment to grow at 7 to 8%. So should we expect our company's growth to be in line with that at least?
Till it happens, for us to predict any forward-looking revenue number, even on a segment basis, is very difficult. But yes, that has been the normal trajectory of the business, and we expected to return to that trajectory.
So because this year, you know, when the growth of the industry as far as flat, we have degrown roughly in the range of 8 to 10%. So if next year the industry goes back to the normal growth trajectory, should we expect our growth to be high in that case?
It doesn't look like, simply because our new SKUs revenues will kick in. So like we mentioned, in the last 18 months, I'll give you a number of total SKUs. That will also give you some flavor of what we're saying. Total SKUs in sanitary ware is 387 currently, up by 50 SKUs. Sanitary ware is 387, faucet is 905. Both combined have increased by 50 SKUs during Q3. So over the last 18 months, we have increased this number by 20%, and those new products constitute 10% of sales.
So, yeah.
That these revenues will kick in, and this year we don't know the extent to which the sanitary market has degrown. That number I think will be estimated at the end of Q4 when you add all the organized players top line.
So it's very likely that at least we'll grow as per industry rate in FY21. Is that right assumption, sir?
Yes, at least as the market leader will be the first position to take advantage of the revival in sales.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshvora from Praj Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to know that you mentioned in sanitary ware you will be growing by 6 to 7. The industry would be growing by 6 to 7% for next year, and faucet would be growing by 7 to 8%. So, do we expect to grow better than the industry?
In sanitary ware, will be first off the block as the market leader. Will get the maximum share of new sales. That always happens. And in faucet ware, you see, we have got now 12 to 15% of incremental market share. If you see the last 2-3 years, whatever market has grown, whatever 400-500 crores annually, we have grown by 70 crores annually. So in any case, though coming from a small base, we have made it almost a 325 crore business, which is second after the largest player.
Just, I was coming from a point because in last couple of years the industry growth has been very subdued, and this is a very positive signs coming from you that we can be probably seeing good growth coming from next year. So just wanted to know, can we come to a good growth phase back, or still a little bit far away from that?
See, we are all expecting things to turn around, and but till it happens, I mean, we'll always take a very conservative approach and wait for things to materialize.
So can I get realizations, average realizations for all the segments like sanitary ware, faucet and tiles?
We have almost 1100 SKUs. It's impossible to do something like that, you know, per piece basis. There's too much variation. We have products from 900 to 3 lakh rupees per SKU in sanitary ware across the four brands.
Thank you. Any other question, Ms. Avora?
Yes, just last question. Sir, in the last 3 years, the industry have been very bad for our products and real estate as well. What is the biggest learning you've got from last 3 years?
I think for Cera, when we meet investors and funds, etc., we get a reassurance that for them, this is the best affordable housing play with zero debt, high cash, and very high quality of governance. So there have been no unrelated diversifications. There has been no a dramatic capex increase in any year in the last 10 years. And if you look at the way the company has behaved over the last 3 years, they almost prepared for this slowdown. All the actions were geared towards impending slowdown, low capex, high cash conservation, focus on cash flow, focus on credit, very tight controls on giving extended credit to projects, reducing number of projects and B2B business. So all these factors give us a reassurance when we hear that from the market.
That's great, sir. And, sir, lastly, any risks that you see to the growth that you are impending for the next year?
Sorry, I didn't hear that clearly.
Do you see any risk to the growth that you are seeing for the next year?
So our model is totally de-risked. You know, if we had large portion of finance cost or depreciation cost or any other fixed cost, that would have played a role in creating a riskier situation. Now, on the outsourcing side, I just want to just give you one statistic. Around 50% of our sanitary ware and faucet ware products are outsourced. So no company has succeeded on a full outsourcing model or a full in-house production model. So we have basically tried to perfect this very delicate number of which products need to be outsourced, which products need to be made in-house, how to do cost control and quality control on outsourced products. So all these are very delicate balancing acts, which we think we have now come to a very equilibrium state.
Right. Thanks. Thanks for all the answers. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimesh Pranav Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to understand on the utilization levels in sanitary ware and faucets, if you can share that. And second is, are we planning to add any other brand, sub-brand in sanitary ware anytime soon?
Okay, the utilization level, I'll give you that first. For 9 months, sanitary ware utilization level were 81% and faucet ware was 69% of own production. For Q3, that number was 76% for sanitary ware and 73% for faucet ware. As far as brands are concerned, we have a full brand pyramid now complete with Isvia made in Italy products right at the top, which are, you know, 40,000 to 3 lakhs per piece. And below that we have Senator, which is maybe 17,000 to 40,000 per piece. And then the main brand, which is Terra, is 17,000 all the way down to almost 8,900 per piece. And 90-95% of the market is this mass market currently. And right at the bottom for government contracts and tenders, we have a brand called Jeet, which is neither advertised nor displayed even in our company-owned experience center. So currently there are no plans to, you know, introduce a fifth brand, but the extensions of these brands and the sub-brands that continue to be created will continue to be created.
Sure, sir. And, sir, how much capex have been done in 9 months?
Okay, I'll just give you that number. I'll give you the annual number and how much has been consumed in 9 months. The annual number for 1920 was 56 crores and so far we have consumed 31.8 crores. Now I'll give you the breakup of 31.8. 6.2 crores has been used for sanitary ware automation. 3.4 crores has been used for faucet ware automation. 4.3 crores has been used for customer touch points. 11.1 crores has been used for completion of the staff colony at the Kadi factory. And 6.7 crores has been used for logistics and IT, infra upgrade.
Okay, sir. And, sir, no plans for any capacity addition in sanitary ware, right? Or faucets?
Just increase in automation. That all this capex is going for increase in automation rather than increasing the number of pieces.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Talreja from Edelweiss. Please go ahead. Thanks a lot for taking the question, sir. So you also mentioned that your exports is relatively small and is going to GCC countries. So if you could just give some scenario, is it to tiles? And secondly, any duty or finalization, something that we have heard of in the tiles front in the GCC countries?
So currently, we don't have any tiles exports. And it's all sanitary ware exports. Bulk of it is to GCC countries. A little bit is to the US, Canada, and Western European countries as well. We have not really promoted the Cera brand in those geographies. So we rely on our dealers to procure orders and then supply on a made-to-order basis rather than send our products there and wait for them to sell. So that has been the current export strategy.
Anything on the Morbi front? I mean, if at all you would have an idea that, you know, what's happening on the exports front, any color on that?
So larger tiles industry, we are, again, only concerned with our vendors from the larger tiles industry. Other than that, on a generic tiles basis, we really don't keep track on the export numbers because, in any case, there's significant overcapacity in India.
Sure, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to thank everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in our company, Cera Sanitaryware Limited. The company is well poised to maximize all opportunities for the remaining part of the current fiscal and, as expected, more buoyant next fiscal. With this, I hope I have been able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you feel there's any need for further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking the time to join the call and see you all next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.